Hey, everybody, back once again for the Between the Ropes podcast. Brian Fritz, Michael Wiseman. Thanks again to everybody for all of your support, for subscribing to the podcast, for downloading it. The second podcast of the week, because there's just so much going on. We knew we had to split this up into two podcasts. I know a lot of people early in the week had a heart attack, Michael, when they saw our podcast length and they said 90 minutes. What's wrong with these guys?
I love that. The fact that people were thinking something was wrong with us because we didn't go 5 hours with our podcast. But, you know, we wanted to give you a break and build up the anticipation, knowing that it was a newsworthy week. But, you know, we heard this rumor 2 months ago, or I guess a month ago, just over a month ago, that the XFL might come back and there might be a rumored date for it. And then, I don't know, it was just so weird because out of nowhere that happened today. So our podcast had even more meaning by coming out today. So I'm real excited, if you can't tell.
Well, it's funny because I didn't think about it the other day when we did the podcast, and like, right, the next day, like in the back of my mind, I was thinking like, oh yeah, isn't that XFL announcement or whatever announcement supposed to come like on the 25th? And then this morning, it was just like, oh, by the way, you know, Vince is doing a conference call or a big announcement. And I was just like, oh, man, here it comes. Here it comes. And people are wondering, like, what's it going to be? Is it going to be a football league? Is he actually going to bring back the XFL? Of course he's going to bring back the XFL. He's Vince freaking McMahon.
But you don't. Okay. So, like, you mentioned the whole date thing, and I had it circled in, and I was like, okay, something could happen on the 25th, but when we heard nothing about it in the last week, I assumed it must have been a wrong date. And then,
right,
there was a story that went up somewhere. I was doing some research the other day thinking about it, and they were saying, you know, it sounds like Vince McMahon did do some deals this week in New York while they were there and talked to some people, but he's delaying the announcement for a little bit. And I was like, okay, that makes sense. You know, these things never go as planned. But no. This morning, this is how big of a deal it was. I get a text from my wife, and she's like, it's happening. And I'm like, what is she talking about? Apparently, in her news feed, she found out the XFL announcement was coming this morning. They made a big deal about it, whatever. So, man, it's just, this is so, you said, of course he did it. This is so surreal, though, dude. This is the craziest thing to happen.
Well, here's the thing, too. So, not only is he bringing back the name, the XFL, and whatnot, and by the way, the league's going to launch in 2020. So, the first time around, you know, they were pressured because it was only a year in advance. So, now, 2 years, it'll be plenty of time to set up a full-fledged football league.
That whole extra year, it makes all the difference.
Right. I mean, I'm being cynical here and everything, but the thing is, so Vince has this conference call today, and there were no major answers, really. Like, he talked about what they want to get out of the league, but when it comes to, like, pointed answers about what's the exact date that the league's going to start, what cities are going to have teams, what partners are you going to have for broadcasting, different things like that, there was no answers to that. Like, all of that is still to be determined. I mean, basically what we know is there's going to be 8 teams, 40 man rosters, 10 game season, 14 postseason, championship game. It will start late January, early February. In other words, it will start the week after the Super Bowl. He wants the game to be faster paced, family friendly. They want to make it easier to understand. In other words, we want you to be able to know exactly what a catch is, because we don't in the NFL anymore. One of the best lines of the whole thing was when he talked about how he wanted the games to be shorter, and he's hoping to have it around 2 hours. And at one point he said, nobody wants to sit through a tedious 3-hour broadcast. And it was just like, then what are you doing on Monday night every week? You know,
that was my favorite part, where he talked about, I mean, yes, he basically threw his own product under the bus, but also there's an element of, they are forced to do these 3 hours, presumably by USA and the money they bring in from doing that additional hour for the USA network.
Yep.
But I just thought it was funny. He was so blatantly obvious about, like, yeah, man, we really want to get this down to, you know, spending 3+ hours there watching a football game is not what they want to do. We want to get it down to 2 hours or so.
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, this time around, obviously he wasn't pushing the whole, this is old school, violent, you know, smash mouth football. He did talk about, we want to be very careful when it comes to injuries. We're very cognizant of that. But, you know, he wants a faster paced game from a standpoint that maybe we won't have as many commercial breaks. Maybe we won't have halftime. And they want it to be very fan friendly. And they said, if you have an idea, share it with us. If you're the media, if you're a fan, we want to hear from you. We want your ideas to make this your league. And
I mean, but the thing about it was, okay, so if you watch, you talk about the rules, you talk about the way they're going to change it to make it more fan-friendly, to make it more viewer-friendly. They had that video that debuted, I think is where most of us got the most information about this new XFL from. And this video that played over the front of this press conference, first off, I think they used the same style slash maybe even the same rapper, I don't know, but the same rap artist they did for the recent 2K commercials. The Be Like No One commercial they did for...
I think you're exactly right. I think they did.
Yeah. The 2K18 Be Like No One commercials. It was like, be whatever. This had that same style, that same feel, and it was very much like popping up all the things that he wanted you to know. Like, the lesser rules, a simpler game, and it showed people like going on to their websites and playing fantasy sports and all this jazz. And there's this idea here that Vince McMahon is, I guess in his mind, he's going to make it more fan-friendly by changing the rules up, but to your point, he didn't expound or clarify what rules or what that actually looks like in action. It's just an idea at this point.
It's all it is. It's an idea. Like I said, there was no real specifics on anything else. Like, you get in this conference call and there's multiple people asking, like, okay, so we've got an NFL team. Could you have a team here? And he's like, I don't know. You possibly will see, you know, I mean, he was like, every city is on our radar. I'm going to tell you right now, and I don't know this for a fact. I don't have insider information on this, but they're going to do 8 teams. I'm going to guarantee that Orlando gets a team because number one, they had one before. Number two, they've got the facility for it. Three, Orlando is the secondary city for all WWE, you know, it's basically their second base of operation, you know, with, you know, with their partnership with Full Sail and everything. And also, Orlando Mayor Buddy Dyer has already let it be known that he would love to have an XFL team here in Orlando again. And, I mean, they get along so great with the XFL, and it just seems like a partnership that's probably going to work. I mean, there's going to be a lot of other places. I think in a perfect world, they already have an NFL team in that city, or they have a professional team there. I think the end game of all of this, Vince basically said, like, you know, they want this to kind of be a secondary league to the NFL. And the NFL is not going to probably do anything with them right off the bat. But if they can prove a good business infrastructure that goes for a few years, then maybe the NFL would use them as kind of a feeder system. But there's going to be a lot of show me first, I think, when it comes to the NFL, when it comes to what television or broadcast partners he can get, because I have a hard time believing he can get on network TV, maybe cable TV, but I don't think he's going to get a network TV deal.
Well, it opens up speculation about the timing of this 2020. We're talking about WWE rights for their programming coming up later this year, and maybe the conversation is being had. If you take WWE, you know, Fox Sports has been one of the suitors for WWE in our recent conversations and from what people say. If you take that conversation at its face value, is there a possibility for some kind of sister deal here where Vince McMahon says, you're already working with me on this, especially if you're a network like Fox Sports One who needs more content, needs more programming outside of what ESPN already owns and is trying to carve out its own niche. Is there a possibility Vince McMahon says, listen, you got that. Let me bring you something else. I'm delivering your ratings over there. The XFL, it's not where we want it to be, but with a great partner like Fox, with a great outlet like Fox Sports One, it will help your network and grow you into something and give you that niche. Is that a possibility? I don't know, but I guarantee you those are the kind of conversations that are happening right now for Vince McMahon. However, the idea that Vince McMahon is, again, starting the XFL here in 2018 and is taking that brand around and shopping it around for a potential network TV deal in 2 years is mind-boggling, because it isn't the first thing anybody asks you when you bring this to the table. But the XFL is a running joke at this point.
That's the thing. I mean, you've got so many different things to overcome. You've got the stigma of the XFL. You've got to understand what exactly are the rules of the game, what cities are you going to have, who else is going to be partnered with this. I mean, there's a lot of things. I would think that within, you know, 6 months from now, they probably have to announce what cities they're going to be in, who's going to be involved with those various teams. Now, mind you, they're not franchising these out, so Vince is going to own the entire league. He'll own all the teams. So there's a lot of things that have to get in order first with then, and then whatever broadcast partner. And I don't know where they're going to end up. I don't know what kind of money they're going to get from that. But that's going to be a work in progress, to say the least. Now, Vince did go out of his way, and people brought this up too, about is he doing the league now because of the controversy surrounding the NFL and the anthem and players like Colin Kaepernick? And he said, no, that had no decision or no effect on my decision. I do believe when he says, I've been wanting to do this for a while. Maybe that had a little, now is the time, but I think he's wanted to do this for a long time. I think it's always stuck with him the way that the XFL turned out, and he's always believed that there's room for another football league, and he's been wanting to do it. And with everything that's been going on, even though he denies it, I don't think it had a major part, but I'm sure it had a little part. And I also find it somewhat humorous but interesting that Vince said, he wouldn't flat out say, like, our players are going to stand for the anthem, but he did say, basically, that's a good idea, and said, we are going to have a rule book that they will abide by. And basically, what it's going to be is, my understanding is, when you sign a contract, there are certain rules that are going to be a part of it. One of those rules are, you stand for the national anthem. Now, if you don't do that, my guess would be, you're going to be fired. And Vince even said, too, that, like, they don't want players that have, you know, spotty, you know, criminal records. Like, if you get a DUI, you're out of there. So I don't know what this means for some of the players they might even bring in. The whole thing's still a work in progress.
I mean, okay, so a couple of things there. Number one, he talked about wanting to simplify everything, and as part of that, he included the conversation around politics and making football less political. But the thing he addressed was whether or not players were going to stand for the anthem, and that's the major divisive political thing right now happening in the NFL. So you can't, on the one hand, say we're going to stay out of politics, but then make that one of your tenets for your league and one of your early talking points, even, that we are going to have our player standing, and that is something that is very important to me. So those two ideas don't go together, that it's not going to be political, but at the same time, you are going to cover and talk about this huge politically divisive issue. I think that's funny, and I think also it speaks to Vince McMahon's naivete, this idea that he believes he is being apolitical while tackling the biggest political issue in Roger Goodell's NFL career. So, you know, that being what it is, and that being said, it's fascinating to me that he is floating this idea out there so early. And we talk about whatever it could mean for being a partner with the NFL, what it could mean for Vince McMahon and his career, and I know we'll talk a little bit about that. But I think it's really funny that he wants this to be good old-fashioned, family-friendly football. He's going to launch it in 2020. And with the political climate the way it is right now, with the culture around football and fandom and CTE and injuries and all of that being what it is right now, that this is what he brought to the table here January 25th, 2018.
Vince has a certain vision for the way that he likes football. He has a vision for what he thinks other people are going to like for football, and that's what he's going to try to do. I think he needs some people that are already involved in the NFL to really add some name recognition to this to make sure that they're going to believe it. Other than that, man, I have so many different questions that we just don't have answers to. And like I said, he was being very generic when he did this conference call today, a conference call that,
yeah, I was the first person to ask a question of Vince McMahon.
I mean, you beat fake news outlets like CNN, like Bloomberg. Forbes,
yeah,
Bloomberg Business Week,
Bloomberg Business Week went on there. Which was kind of funny that I got on there first. It's basically like an order thing. Like, I mean, they don't pick you. It's like whoever called in first and got in the queue.
They really thought Brian Fritz was going to have the best. Man, this Brian Fritz fellow, we've heard so much about him. We've got to get him on here.
Got to get this guy on first, man. You know, and Vince is probably like, who's Brian Fritz? He's like, that guy you sat down with a couple of years ago and did that face-to-face interview in Orlando.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and it was funny because, like, I mean, the questions I asked him, which I think anybody would have right off the bat, and I said, why is now the right time to bring back the XFL? And he has said, hey, football's America's favorite sport. There's 7 months without football right now. There's 70 million fans. So why not bring it back now? I've always wanted to bring it back. And then I asked him about what kind of lessons did you learn the first time that you can, you know, implement this time? And he said, well, quality of play. We had a short time to get it right last time. Now we have 2 years to prepare. It was very short, generic answers. And he did this with everybody. It's not just with me. I mean, everything was, there wasn't a lot of substance. And a lot of it, he really does not know. It's part of it is just a creation in his head. And the rest of it is, we just got to figure it out when it comes to what cities we're going to be in and what partners we can get and all that kind of jazz.
Doesn't it just feel like, though, that Vince McMahon went back and watched the This Is the XFL documentary from the ESPN 30 for 30 last year on repeat, and he figured out, he's like, okay, the thing they keep talking about in this documentary is that I did it too fast, man. Bah, swipe left. I'm going to give myself 2 years this time, and all of that. He also did talk about how this was not going to use the professional wrestlers. It was not going to use the announce team from WWE.
He no
was
association not going to with WWE. Schools. Yep.
Right. And so the lessons he learned and that he talked about today and his big points came from that XFL documentary, because that is exactly what the documentarian pointed out as Vince McMahon's downfall. I think that is hilarious.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, Vince said there will be no association with the WWE. We will not have wrestlers. We will not have any kind of crossover. He goes, we're not using WWE money. That's why I sold my bunch of my stock. I am funding this separately with a different company. So anybody that thinks like, oh, well, their program's going to air on the WWE network, that is not going to happen. There will be no games on the network. They just can't do it. They have to stay clear of WWE. Now, if you go back and you watch that documentary, Mike, here's the other question that I have. If Vince McMahon learned from this or not, will there be an XFL blimp?
Yeah, no. Yeah, that's not happening. That's not happening.
I mean, it, you know what the thing is like, we look at this and everybody's like, okay, it's Vince McMahon bravado, right? Here we go again. I don't know of anybody that believes in the league. Like the first time around, I think some people were like very intrigued. And we're still intrigued, okay? But the first time around, there was people that really thought that this could work, you know? This time around, I think those are few and far between. I think the only person that really believes right now is the last person on the conference call that tried to suck up to Vince McMahon, but that's that's about it.
Who was that? I didn't hear it. You and do you want to name check him on the air?
No, I don't know, because I'll be honest with you. At that point, I wasn't listening. But I went back. Well, I went back and listened to part of it, but I missed the name. I apologize, but I heard him, and they were sucking up on something about, oh, you're this great promoter, and you know. And, people have made fun of you for the last time you did this or something on those lines. And I was like, what?
Well, I mean, they are right. Vince McMahon, the thing he does, the thing he knows better than a lot of people, and I would say almost anybody, is that whole carnival promotion mentality. That idea is, we're coming to town. We're going to do a show. Come see us, because you never know what you're going to get. It's going to be something different, something crazy, and you're going to want to be there to see it in person.
Yeah.
But the problem is, by bringing back the XFL name itself, you're bringing back all of that negative stereotype about it, that all those feelings about this league that have been festering for the last 18 years. You have brought those in tow with you to this press conference today. Today was your chance to get out ahead of all that, because we've only really, I mean, the XFL came back up last year because of the documentary, but we've only really been talking about the XFL with any gravity for the last month and some change. So it hasn't gotten out there to the extent where people are already bashing it. People, I think, were willing to say, okay, I'm skeptical, but I'm going to give it a chance. You get out there, you convince me, I'll be on board. The problem is, I don't think he brought enough to the table today to convince people that what the XFL is going to be in 2020 is different enough from the crap show it was in 2001.
Yeah. I mean,
and that's an issue.
I would feel better about this league if he already knew the eight cities that were going to have teams, if he already knew where it was going to broadcast, if he already knew what the rules were going to be, and then he said, we're going to launch in 2 years.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that I would believe in it, but I'd have a better feeling about it at that point, because there's just so much work that goes into these things. I mean, it's a crazy amount.
Yeah, and I think that beyond just talking about how he's going to, whatever the concrete plans are, I want to know more about what's going to make it different and make it the experience that are going to keep fans hooked week after week. Because he's right. NFL games have a lot of rules. NFL games take way too long. Even basketball games this day and age. I mean, you watch college basketball, it never ends. And that does annoy some fans. But also, the reason the NFL is still so popular is because fans tune in on a Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock to watch their team. And if that game sucks, they'll flip over to CBS or wherever else and watch that game. And then during those two games, there will be hype for the game later that evening, and they'll tell their story and sell that whole thing. And even the rules. You talk about the rules in the NFL and how the controversy around the rules makes it a less interesting game. But I would argue the fact that fans go on Twitter, go on Facebook, and talk about all of these controversial referee decisions makes the NFL a more intriguing prospect, much like pro wrestling used to be, because it's the Eric Bischoff mentality, right? Controversy creates cash. So the fact that he didn't bring to us, what is that plan? I think there is some interest in my mind around what is he going to do with esports? How can he build in some interactivity across social media that he's been doing already with WWE? I think that has the potential to be a game changer if handled correctly. We've already seen how fantasy football has driven the NFL to new arenas with reaching different fans and how it's made superstars out of certain players. So I think if Vince McMahon had brought those things to the table today, he could have maybe fought back against some of this criticism. But the fact that we're all coming out of this press conference with XFL, with this idea of they're going to stand for the anthem because that's what he wants, that's the rules, and that we're going to have a small league to begin with. I don't know. This just doesn't sit with me like it's anything that surprising, other than the fact that it's not surprising at all.
Right. I agree with you there. And I also agree when it comes to, like, what are you going to do to make it different when it comes to, or having that kind of interactivity that get people invested in it. And fantasy football is a big part of it. And that's why you've got to have some players that people know. The thing is that I wonder about are, what players are you going to get? Because if somebody is good enough to play in the NFL, they're going to go play in the NFL if they can make more money. And you would think they're going to make more money. I mean, I don't know what kind of money they're going to be able to invest in player salaries, but it's like, if you want to get guys that are legitimate NFL players, you know, that's going to cost a ton of money. And even then, they're going to go play in the NFL anyway. So, I mean, that's the tricky thing, because I mean, I'll admit it, I'm a snob when it comes to my sports. Like, I mean, people are tied into their college sports, you know, their alma maters, you know, the schools that they've rooted for, their parents have rooted for, and their parents have rooted for. You have a tie in there. You have an allegiance. Right. When it comes to professional sports, there's going to be a lot of people, myself included, that like watching professional sports because, one, you're tied to a team, whether you lived in that city or for whatever reason, but two, you watch sports because you want to see the best of the best compete. And that's professional sports. And in football, that's the NFL. And that's a huge stigma to try to get over. It's the same stigma that every minor league sport has, is getting past that, and that you are watching people that are talented, but they're not good enough to play on a top level in the real professional league, in the best of the best sport. And yeah. I mean, like I said, it's great for them, but they can make a living at it. They're talented and they go out there and they work extremely hard. And some of those guys do get opportunities to go play in other leagues, and they've been success stories. I mean, Kurt Warner is a great example of a guy that was in the Arena League, and he went on to the NFL, where he's a Hall of Famer and a Super Bowl champion. But those are few and far between. And it's going to be tough to get players that people are going to be interested in watching when it comes to, hey, they're really, really good at what they do, and I want to watch that.
Do you put any stock? Okay, so there's a couple of other things I think we should talk about. Number one, let's not undercut the promotional power of Vince McMahon too much. I believe that we all doubt him at this stage for adequate reasons, but the man has, when his back is against the wall, proven to be a ferocious lion if need be. So I think he might see and hear what is happening today and say, you know, they're right, but I see this as a sound business investment, and I am going to go for it, and I'm going to do this, and I'll make it different. So I think we have to be careful and steel ourselves against that happening and cutting him out too early. But also, do you think there's anything in regards to the fact that this is going to debut in 2020, which If my calculations are correct, will be the last year, potentially, unless he gets reelected, of the Donald Trump presidency.
I don't think there's anything to that. I really don't. I think it's just we needed 2 years, and everybody I've talked to and all the people he trusts said we need at least 2 years. Vince wants to get this going as soon as possible, but 2 years, I think, is probably about the minimum that they needed to do this. And so that Vince said, hey, let's take that. But I don't think it has anything to do with who's going to be, you know, in the Oval Office.
Okay. I mean, I just think, you know, we know that Vince McMahon and Donald Trump are friends. Donald Trump obviously has the biggest platform that he's ever had in his life. And so the idea that Vince McMahon wanted to get this out before Donald Trump left office, knowing that Donald Trump is president, kind of spikes my interest.
Well, somebody even asked, like, do you think the president is going to be involved from a standpoint of, do you think you'll talk about the league or anything? And Vince is like, we have nothing to do with politics. We'll have nothing to do with the president.
All right.
Now, you can't tell me he wouldn't mind it. Now, well, here's the thing, though. Well, I think in some ways it would be great. He would love that. And there's a part of him I think that would love that. But we all know that Donald Trump is a very divisive president, whether you like him or don't. There's people that have strong feelings on both sides. And because of that, WWE has steered clear of promoting that the current president of the United States is also a WWE Hall of Famer. And I think for that same reason, Vince McMahon is going to steer clear of having Donald Trump involved in his football league.
Okay. All right. When you put it like that, you put it like that.
You put it like that.
Maybe I'll buy it.
So we'll step aside for a quick moment. We'll come back. Let's talk some Royal Rumble. So the Rumble is just a couple of days away. We talked about it a little bit on the earlier podcast this week. And I'm not feeling a lot of buzz for the Royal Rumble, but the Rumble is kind of this thing now where it sells itself. And I think as we get within the last 2 days before the Rumble, people get really excited about it. The rumors continue to float here, there, and everywhere, and scenarios and whatnot of who's going to win and what could actually happen. If anybody hasn't checked it out, please go to Sporting News or follow me on Twitter at Brian Fritz to see the link to my Sporting News column where I wrote this long, detailed, kind of tongue-in-cheek, fun prediction column on the Rumble where I literally threw out probably about 50 people. And right now we only have 13 other slots available for it. I mean, I mentioned all the people that are also in it as well, but I ran down a whole litany of people that could be involved in the Rumble, or some people that definitely would not be involved in the Rumble anyway. To try to break it down on who I thought were like the real contenders, and whatnot. And I did it for the women as well. It was more of a Cliff Notes version for the women. And the reason is because I think the scenarios there are a lot more limited on who can actually mm-hmm. win. But check that out and, feel free to give me any kind of feedback. It was a fun little piece that I did, but, I don't think anything has really changed since we did the podcast during the week on probably how we feel. And I haven't heard any more rumors or innuendo on what exactly people are expecting when it comes to the Royal Rumble on Sunday with both the men's and the women's matches.
I think, you know, SmackDown was a pretty good show this week. I don't want to say it was the best of all time, but enjoyable nonetheless. But I didn't feel like outside of what we saw on Monday night or even what we saw on SmackDown Tuesday night, that it changed the course of what's going to happen on Sunday. And I think WWE has a plan. I think they've had the same plan all along, and we'll get to some predictions. But I think you talk about the Royal Rumble this year, and the buzz is just not there. And I wonder, you know, how big of a deal Raw 25 actually was in retrospect, and was it worth sacrificing the buzz for the Rumble? Because what ended up happening is, they spent so much time trying to get that Raw 25 show ready and get it together and get it out there. And we talked about this earlier. They did not really advertise the Rumble in a way that they should have. And then you have this XFL announcement today, and that's taking all of the press coverage away from a lot of people who normally do talk about the Royal Rumble. So I think it's fascinating. And I think some really key news stories are getting lost in this cycle. So for example, they announced the other day that Stephanie McMahon will be doing the announcing for the Women's Rumble, which has proven divisive on social media, but I think it's a really cool idea.
And Ronda Rousey just happened to run in TMZ And she said she will not be a part of the Rumble, that she is leaving to go to Columbia, where she'll be filming. I can't remember the name of the movie that she's working on right now, but she's,
don't worry. Nobody can.
Well, she's working on a movie. And
is it a big movie?
I think it is a big movie. It's
The Marine Six.
It is not a little bit bigger than that, I'm going to say, but...
wait, what? I'm sorry. You said bigger than the Marine 6 or the Marine 7?
She is doing the movie Mile 22.
Okay.
But she says she will not be even in the country, so there's no way she's going to be in the Royal Rumble. I mean, her name obviously has been thrown out there. A lot of people have been discussing her for a while. I'm going to talk about her, but I've always kind of been in the camp of, I believe it when I see it. That she was actually going to be a part of the match, much less win it, which I even said in that other post that I did. I wouldn't be shocked if she was in it, even with her saying this. I mean, I think there's a lot of people that are going, well, she's just saying that because they got to throw the scent, right? But it becomes a lot of times where some people deny they're going to be a part of something, and everybody's just like, I don't believe you, I don't believe you. And then you should have believed them because they're not there, they're not part of it, and what they said was actually true.
Well, true. Well, I think we're always looking for the truth. I think we always doubt as pro wrestling fans that people are going to be honest with us, because they're not a lot of times. So we probably should take her at her word on Sunday. There is the classic mentality that if Ronda Rousey is going to be at your pay-per-view, why the hell would you not advertise it? So maybe she is going to be there and she'll shock us all. But after hearing that today and what you just told me, I am beginning to doubt it a little
bit. Do you think with Stephanie McMahon being the ringside, and this was definitely an idea if Ronda Rousey was going to be in the match, okay? And this could still happen with somebody else, obviously. But since Stephanie's going to be the ringside, that part of the reason why she's there is not only to call the first ever Women's Royal Rumble and bring some more attention to that, but they could do a storyline because she'll be right there. Like somebody will confront her, somebody will get in her face, something like that. And there's a lot of people that thought, like, oh, if Ronda's going to be there, the one, they can do something there and they can set up Ronda against Stephanie. But if she's not going to be there, Stephanie's still going to be there ringside. So it immediately raises red flags that they could do a storyline.
Yeah, it could.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think it's going to. Not for the first. I think that would be too much for the first ever Women's Royal Rumble.
Will they have, because they did the first ever women's royal or men in the bank or money in the bank, will they have a guy help a woman win the first ever Royal Rumble like they did Money in the Bank?
Not
where
if they
is James Ellsworth?
Their lesson.
Where's Ellsworth?
I do think, though, I can only imagine they might try. We know there's only 17 entrants in the Women's Royal Rumble at this point. They might try to do some nonsense like have Santino Marella come out as whatever that his cousin version of himself was back in the day.
I was just gonna throw
that
out.
Goofy like that.
Ellsworth in drag, and then all the women gang up and throw him over the top rope to the floor.
I mean, that would be pretty fantastic. Let's just be honest, if they were to eliminate James Ellsworth and in a way eliminate that moment from the pro wrestling history books, that would be pretty fantastic.
Now here's the thing, say they take our idea, and I'm gonna say it's our idea even though they might already have it. Okay,
no, they took it from
right.
us.
If they do that, does Ellsworth, would he still count as one of the entrants, even though, and if he was in drag, but they found out, like, obviously it was not a woman, do they still count that as one of the 30?
Yes.
I would say yes as well.
they need to pad out that a little
they
bit.
They might need to do that with, like, four or five people, because I think some people are wondering if they're going to get to 30.
They just stop at a certain point.
Right. You know, so, and we don't know who else is going to be in this match when it comes to surprises. Like, could it be Michelle McCool that she's obviously been talked about? Could we get Alita or a Beth Phoenix or a Trish Stratus? Maybe. I mean, I'd love to see it from the standpoint of it adds so much value and gravitas to it. You know, Trish would be fantastic. Trish, when we saw her the other night in Raw 25, she's in fantastic shape, you know? Tori Wilson's in fantastic shape. She could be in it. So there's some ideas there. I think we should probably expect some women from NXT to be a part of it. Maybe Ember Moon or Peyton Royce, Billy Kay, Nikki Cross, you know, any one of them or all of them. I think maybe a couple. Shayna Baszler definitely is somebody that I would expect to be in that match. Maybe some people that were in the Mae Young Classic. Maybe. But, I mean, they got to get to 30.
Yeah. Yeah, they gotta get to 30 somehow, so let's see what we can stick. I would like to see, I wish they would do this, bring in somebody maybe from the Mae Young Classic or somebody from the Indies to kind of create some buzz, create some excitement. That'd be fun. Who knows?
Yeah.
They're not going to win. Who do you think is going to win, though, Brian? That's the real question.
I threw out three different scenarios when I did that post, and this is why I did the women's section shorter. One of them was Ronda Rousey, winning and setting up a match against Asuka, with me saying that Asuka would win the championship between now and Mania, because, if Asuka lost this match and say Ronda won, so Asuka's still unbeaten in singles matches, she should be getting another shot against Alexa Bliss. She already beat Alexa, who's a champion, so this time it would be for the title. She would win the title, and then it would be Ronda Rousey taking on Asuka at Mania. I do not think that scenario is going to happen, though. So to me, there's only two other scenarios that I see right now, and I could be dead wrong about this, obviously, but one is Asuka wins. They wait till Mania to do the match with Alexa Bliss. And I would hope that if they did something like that, that Asuka would have a very long run with the championship and build it up and build up a big contender and a big match for way down the line. The other scenario, and this is the one that I believe is going to happen, is Nia Jax wins the Royal Rumble. And this sets up a Nia Jax Asuka championship match with Asuka again winning the title before Mania. So they do the match at Mania, and they could say, yes, Asuka's already beaten Nia Jax, but Nia can say, well, that's because I hurt my knee. Now I'm fine. I've got your number. I eliminated you for the Royal Rumble. I put a chink in the armor, and now I am going to beat you at WrestleMania, and I'm going to take the title.
I mean, yes, I think, if you had Ronda Rousey in there, she's probably got to win it to create that buzz, but I tend to lean into maybe your last scenario. I think Nia Jax actually makes a lot of sense. They've been downplaying her a little bit while the announced team has still been building her up. Mm-hmm. I think the focus on Asuka for Monday night has me pretty convinced they're not going that route on Sunday. And like you've said, she can still lose that match and not have a loss against her on her record officially, quote unquote officially. So you do Nia Jax. She's a monster. She is a beast. She is, just big badass. And then you still build up Asuka over the next few months. Asuka is there, but I don't think she's quite over with the crowd enough. And then you do the title swap at Mania. That could be a fun feud and a fun match.
Now, say we're both right. Okay. And do you think Asuka would be the champion before Mania as well?
Yeah. think that's. Yeah, well, I guess that would make more sense. Well, so maybe Asuka, I don't know, maybe Asuka loses at Mania? It's weird.
Well, here's the thing, too. So say Asuka's the champion, okay? And put it this way. Alexa Bliss is no longer the champion before Mania. Would they do Alexa Bliss against Charlotte since they did that little tease? Or is that something that's kind of a down-the-line thing that they could put, Alexa could switch brands or whatever following, if they do a draft or superstar shakeup, whatever they want to call it? Or is that a match that they could actually do at Mania and, Asuka faces somebody else and we'll see who exactly wins this? Maybe it's Asuka against Stephanie McMahon. Don't puke, people. I'm just throwing it out there. But maybe they got another idea. Maybe that was a setup for those two. Got
to get a McMahon on the card.
Right. Oh, I think we're going to get a McMahon on the card.
XFL is coming back. We got to make the McMahon main need something.
Yeah. It's just another scenario, like, I mean, they did that tease with Alexa and Charlotte. Now it can mean nothing because they're both champions, It can mean nothing for right now. So it's something to kind of look out for, I guess.
We'll see.
What surprises would you like to see in the Women's Rumble?
Just, I think Lita is probably an obvious one, but that would be a lot of fun. I don't know. I haven't really put a lot of stock into it. I said already, I wouldn't mind seeing somebody from like the Indies get the call up or even bring in somebody from the Mae Young Classic because you did have some indie competitors in there. I believe they'll obviously bring in somebody from NXT, but I don't know that I have anything that would make me kind of jump out of my seat. Some kind of legend obviously would be fun, but who is that? Beth Phoenix probably is a good one to bet.
Michelle McCool seems like the one. She's going to be there. And I think she's actually coming back for a run.
Yeah. Well, that would make sense.
Right.
You reckon they do a storyline with her and Taker?
People wonder about that, man. I do, man.
She beats him for the streak.
I don't know about that. So
the streaks are already over.
Okay, so when it comes to the guys, what surprises do you expect?
Obviously, a lot of legends, as we get every year. But
we don't get a lot of legends. We get a couple.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean. We get more legends than we do at any other time of the year.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody in particular. I think we will all be surprised by the winner at the end of the night. I think we will either be surprised that, man, they went with somebody new and like, wow, that's really surprising, or like, holy crap.
Right.
They let Roman Reigns win again.
In Philadelphia.
Right, right. They really went there and did that. I think either way, it's going to be an interesting night to watch the Royal Rumble.
Let's run through some big names here real quick, okay? I'm gonna throw out a name. You tell me if you think they're going to be in the Royal Rumble.
Okay.
Daniel Bryan.
Ooh, you went with the big one first. I don't know.
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
Triple H.
Yes.
I would agree. I think he's going to be in it. The Undertaker.
No.
I'm going to say no. Batista.
Yes.
Will he wear blue tights and once again be Blue-tista?
Blue-tista, no.
I'm going to say yes, but I'm really hedging on that one. I don't know. Braun Strowman.
No.
I'm going to say yes. Just the sight of him throwing people around seems like too much fun.
Yeah.
It just seems like...
That's true. Yeah.
Just chucking bodies left and right. Just seems like so much fun. Shane McMahon.
No.
I'm going to say no as well. Seth Rollins.
Yes.
I'm going to say yes as well. Okay. Kurt Angle.
Yes.
Yes. I think Kurt's going to be in it.
Yes.
Bill Goldberg.
No.
I agree.
If they were going to do Goldberg, they would have brought him back already.
Dolph Ziggler.
No, because you haven't done that storyline. Unless he's going to win it, why would you bring him back just to have him in this match?
I think that he's going to be on the show, but I don't think he'll be in the Rumble. Do I have any other names? Samoa Joe is not going to be in the Royal Rumble because he's injured. That's the way it looks, at least. Drew McIntyre, I think, had a real chance of winning the Royal Rumble if he was not injured.
Oh, wow.
I do.
Wow, you thought he was going to win it.
I said he had a chance. I thought he had a chance of winning it. Okay. Will Andrade Cien Almas be in the Royal Rumble?
Depends on what happens Saturday night.
Will Adam Cole be in the Royal Rumble?
Oh, no.
I'm going to say no.
No.
Bobby Lashley, will he be in the Royal Rumble?
Yes, he will.
I think he will as well.
He will.
EC3.
No. He's gonna have an NXT run. It won't make sense to put him
up
there yet.
So I'm torn on him, okay? Because I agree. And even in the column I wrote, I said I think he's going to NXT. And I can't imagine somebody going to the Royal Rumble and then going to NXT. Not impossible. It could happen, obviously. Well, I guess he had an indie booking the night of the Rumble, and he canceled it.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
And the plot thickens.
Now, there could be that he's sitting ringside at TakeOver, and he's going to NXT, and he's just not going to work that indie. I don't know. Okay. Let me throw out a couple more names. Chris Jericho.
Yes.
I'm going to say no, he will not be in the Royal Rumble. Neville.
No.
I'm going to say no, he will not be in the Royal Rumble. That's basically it. Everybody else was kind of goofy joke names. Like I had Stone Cold Steve Austin. Of course not.
No.
Ric Flair. No. Conor McGregor. I said he's running from the Irish mob. CM Punk. Ain't going to happen. Kenny Omega's under contract.
Can you imagine if it did, though? Oh, God, can you imagine if it did?
You always want to imagine that, man. So, who is your favorite? Okay, let's say this, okay? Give me your top five guys that you think have a real chance of winning, and who do you think is winning?
top five guys. Okay, why don't we each give a guy, and if it's not the guy you, the previous one said, we can add somebody to the list. Okay? Okay. Shinsuke Nakamura, I think he's in it. I think he is a contender. He is in it to win it.
I think he's winning.
I'm not saying he's my guy yet, but okay. Oh, okay. Roman Reigns.
Oh, he's in it to the end, man. That's a final four.
Seth Rollins.
I think Seth is a real dark horse chance if he's in the match.
Okay. Braun Strowman.
Definitely has a chance if he's in it. And that's another one. It's like Seth. Got to be in it.
Kevin Owens.
No. I don't even know if he's going to be in it. I don't think Kevin's... Well, I think there's a chance Kevin's not even in the match.
Okay. Okay.
But I don't think he'll be close.
All right. I think... Oh, I'm torn. I'm so torn. Who else do you think could run a good chance at winning it? You predicted Shinsuke.
I did predict Shinsuke. I'm going to tell you right now.
God.
I put Roman as a real, real good chance just because I want to see people freak out. And that's just kind of just a horrible thing.
I just love to see the world burn.
I do, man. That's me, man. I just want to see that reaction. I think Triple H has a chance.
No, they did that already.
I know. A slight chance. I'm not going to say much, but we don't even know if he's going to be in. I think as a
they did it the last time they crowned Roman Reigns.
I think as a slight chance. I think John Cena has a slight chance as well.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
I think Kurt Angle has a chance if he's in it.
No, I don't think so.
So does the Miz have a chance?
The Miz does not have a chance because he's a mid-card champion right now.
Let me ask you this, because correct me if I'm wrong, the Miz has not been officially announced for this match.
Right.
And I don't believe Roman Reigns has been officially announced for this match.
No.
Could they have a rematch and not be in the Royal Rumble?
Roman Reigns will be in the Royal Rumble.
He's got to be, right?
Royal Rumble, I mean, Roman Reigns is going to be like on a starting position for one of the XFL teams come 2020, okay? He will be XFL and WWE, and they will put the championship on him and then bring him to an XFL game to play
God.
At the same time.
Oh, my God. We're so cynical. Well,
I mean, I don't know. It's a tough one to call this year.
That makes it fun. I love that part, though.
I think there is one other possibility we did not discuss.
Okay.
And that is the possibility that Brock Lesnar loses the championship and he actually returns later in the night.
Mm. And that means Brock versus Braun at Mania?
Yeah. Well, Brock versus... Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns can still win it before then. You have a pay-per-view next month.
Do you believe there is any validity that WWE could be changing what we all perceive to be the plans for WrestleMania of Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, with Roman Reigns winning it because of the allegations of about steroids?
No. That's not going to change his plan.
I don't think so either.
Let's not kid ourselves.
I don't think so either. I'm just going to throw it out there because some people are like, you know, they've got that cloud hanging over them. Now, mind you, it's not that big of a cloud because I don't know how many people really know about it. And there's got to be a lot more substantial evidence, I think, before WWE would act, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
And I know some people might be saying, well, what about Enzo? Well, here's the thing with Enzo, though, and we alluded to it a little bit. We're right. I mean, there's been more and more reports about this, is that Enzo knew for 3 months he was being investigated over this, you know, sexual misconduct act, you know, if I'll say it like that, and that's putting it lightly. And he never told the company. He never told WWE he was under investigation.
Yeah. I mean, that's a different story.
Right.
And that's you make your bed and you lie in it. That's what happened there.
Right. We're right. So you know? this is different, but I don't think that has anything to do, because I mean, some people might say, well, it's hanging out there, you know, even if they're not sure if he did anything, Would they really want to make him the guy? Would they want to put the championship on him and coronate him at WrestleMania and all that jazz? There's a part of me, even being a Roman Reigns fan, of would they pull the rug out from under him again? Because so many times they've tried to coronate him on that show. And like, could they do that again?
Yeah, but they have tried to do it and then doubled down. I don't think they've pulled the rug out that many times. Yeah. Who knows? Who knows? Yeah.
So who are you going to take? Who's your pick?
All this talk about Shinsuke has got me hot and bothered for him. Maybe Shinsuke. Maybe it's his year. Maybe. Who knows?
I want it to be Shinsuke because I want the Shinsuke-AJ match. It makes a lot of sense from this standpoint, too, for me, is that they haven't done as much as I think they could with Shinsuke. And I think by having him win the Rumble will help elevate him even that much more to a level that a lot of fans think he is at.
Yeah.
And then if you have this, we're going to give you 20 to 25 minutes at WrestleMania. Just go out there and do your thing. Kind of match with AJ. And those guys are big time performers on a big stage. And they're allowed to say, all right, shackles are off. Just go out there and kill it. Steal the show.
Yeah.
That would not only give everybody a WrestleMania moment, but would really help Shinsuke. And it doesn't even matter who wins the match at that point. It really doesn't, you know? But it could
just, you don't want to do it just to make Shinsuke, because I think that's the wrong mentality. Again, you want the champion to make the title, not the title to make the champion.
Right, exactly. So, it seems like a no-brainer, but yeah. I will go back to, is Vince McMahon sold on Shinsuke Nakamura? And that's what it's going to come down to, I think.
Yeah. We'll find out Sunday, I guess.
We'll find out this Sunday. There, it's the Royal Rumble. Tune in on Sunday night on the WWE Network. Let's run through the other four matches real quick and give some predictions.
Okay.
Triple threat for the Universal Championship. Brock Lesnar, Braun Strowman, Kane. It's got to be Lesnar. I can't see anything different.
No. Outside scenario. Now, I don't know. Outside scenario, Braun Strowman wins it. Just to lose it next month. Have a little hop.
Oh, God, don't do that.
Yeah.
Please. Yep. AJ Styles, handicap match against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
By the way, I don't know what is going on outside. It's like there is a Royal Rumble outside my window right now. Do you hear that?
I do not hear. What's going on?
Oh, man. I don't know. It's like there are trucks and it's crazy. Insanity.
Awesome. What's your prediction for this match?
AJ Styles.
AJ Styles all the way. Tag team title. Raw Tag Team Championships, Seth Rollins, Jason Jordan against Sheamus and Cesaro.
Sheamus and Cesaro.
Same here. The Usos against Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin, 2 out of 3 falls match for the SmackDown Tag Team titles.
Ooh, this is going to be a good one. I think this has dark horse potential to tear down the house on Sunday.
Yep. I know what I'm taking.
Shelton Benjamin. Wait. American Alpha version 2.
V2. I agree. I'm going to pick them as well. I think that both tag team titles are going to change hands. I think both world championships stay.
Okay.
That's my official predictions. Real quick, let's talk about NXT TakeOver, which, once again, no buzz for this show, and it's probably going to kill it. There's 5 matches announced for the show. And that's going to be a hot crowd for this too, okay? So they just announced another match yesterday. In fact, on Thursday, Triple H did a conference call with the media, and he announced a 5th match. Cassius Ohno is taking on Velveteen Dream.
Jobber to the stars, Cassius Ohno. There you go, guys. You always wanted that. God.
I love me some Velveteen, though, man.
Yeah, Velveteen Dream. Obviously, that's my pick.
That dude is awesome. They are doing the Undisputed Era. Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly against the Authors of Pain for the NXT Tag Team titles. I'm going to take the Undisputed Era because I think AOP is headed to the WWE.
Yeah, and I think Undisputed Era could use a pretty solid win right here.
Ember Moon, Shayna Baszler, NXT Women's Championship.
Ember Moon, Shayna Baszler.
I'm going to take Ember. I can't imagine Ember losing the title already. I think this could be one of those where Shayna beats her up pretty good, but Ember gets in some offense, but it looks like Shayna's going to win and then Ember pulls out the victory.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that.
Extreme Rules match. By the way, when did Adam Cole become such a hardcore wrestler all the time? Adam Cole and Aleister Black.
Aleister Black.
I agree again. Aleister Black, I think. And then for the championship, Andrade Cien Almas with Zelina Vega against the greatest babyface walking God's green earth, Johnny Gargano.
You love Johnny Gargano.
He is a great baby. Even Triple H talked about it in the conference call, man.
You picked that one. I picked all the other ones first. You go.
Andrade is going to win. Johnny Gargano is going to be extremely close to winning. And then his old tag team partner is going to come and cost him the title. He's going to pull away the dream.
Ooh. Ooh. Okay. All right. A little storytelling in there. Yeah, I agree. They're not pulling it off Andrade yet.
Nobody's talked about Tommaso Ciampa from a standpoint of where he is with his injuries and coming back from his surgeries. It makes all the sense in the world because so many people love Johnny. And rightfully so. And these two have had great matches before. They're going to have this great match. And the announcers are going to be talking about, he's living the dream. You know, he always dreamed of being the champion. And he's going to have his moment. And, oh, it gets pulled out from under him. Because Tommaso Ciampa comes out, costs him the title. Once again, breaking Johnny's heart like he already did when he turned on him. And now you can do Gargano and Ciampa feud. And then Almas will move on to somebody else. Maybe Aleister Black. Somebody else. Maybe it was somebody else that they're bringing in. Maybe it's EC3. I don't know. But that's the way that I see it. I don't care if it's obvious. It still tells an incredible story, and I think it would be fantastic to see.
Well, and it also matches up well with the type of storytelling that NXT likes to do. I mean, NXT is want to do this kind of friendship, the simpler style of storytelling, which I think draws in a lot of fans. You always say it best. You say, keep it simple, stupid, basically. Yep. And that this storyline will make a lot of sense there. You still have a fun surprise at the end of the night. I think that's a good prediction. I'm going to go with your prediction this time.
Okay. So how about this one? I'll put you on the spot with this one. Come the end of the weekend, which show will we say was the better show, NXT TakeOver or the Royal Rumble?
I think the Royal Rumble has real dark horse potential this year.
Mm.
I'm going with the Royal Rumble, baby.
Don't we always say that? Don't we always say it's going to be the bigger show and then it's TakeOver?
I'm going with it. I'm doubling down. Royal Rumble is going to be the bigger show.
I have said I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to take TakeOver, but I still want to do it. I still want to say that the WWE show is going to be the better show. But I'm not. You know what? I'm going to go with TakeOver because that crowd is just going to be jacked. That crowd is going to be jacked. I think that main event match is going to be extremely good. I think there's going to be a couple matches on there that are going to be really, really good. And that's the thing, too. When it comes to the Rumble, I think it's the other matches outside the Rumble matches themselves are going to be the ones that could be the show stewards. So,
yeah, but I think with the element of surprise in play for this year's Rumble, the way it is, I think it could also still be a show stealer in a way that we haven't expected from recent Rumbles.
Will the best match of the weekend between those two shows take place on TakeOver or the Rumble?
Ooh. I don't. Do you? What do you mean by best match? The one we like the best.
One we like the best. The one that gets the most critical review. That people like the better. Will it be basically? And nothing against anybody else, because I'm sure other people are going to have great matches. But if I just look at it from a certain standpoint, will it be the 2 out of 3 falls tag team match on the Rumble, or will it be the NXT Championship match?
Hmm. I don't know, man. NXT Championship match, maybe. I don't know. That 2 out of 3 falls match could be good. I think the Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, AJ Styles match has potential to be really.
Yeah, it does. And you remember, it's a triple threat match when it comes to the Lesnar match too. So those guys are going to be out there, you know, slinging each other around.
Right.
And they can do whatever they want. It's no DQ when you get to a triple threat. I have huge hopes for that Gargano Almas match.
Yeah, it'll be good. I don't know if it's going to be a match. It's a weird weekend, right? That main event doesn't strike me as being the, man, those two guys are going to bring down the house. But that's what we always say.
But you know what? They get 20 minutes into it, and everybody's on the edge of their seat, and the crowd's going nuts, and, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen how much Almas has turned it on over the last, like, 6-8 months where the switch is flipped, yeah. And that's why he's a champion now. And we know about Gargano as well. When it comes to not only what he could do in the ring, you know, as a wrestler, but also just the character development that's going into it and how the attachment that the fans have to him. And that's a huge element that comes to play there, I think, when it comes to the audience interaction.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. I think it could change. It could change everybody's mind at the end of the day. They hear that crowd, they get into it, how exciting it is. Mm-hmm. It makes you feel like it's a bigger match. Maybe it actually is.
So is there anything else that we missed or we need to discuss?
Man, I don't know. We discussed a lot.
We did discuss a lot. You want to throw out some
points? You know what? If you put together mm-hmm. Monday night's or Tuesday night's podcast or whatever night it was, if you put together that podcast with this podcast, we broke 2.5 hours.
We did. We broke 2.5 hours. That's why
I do want to put out some plugs.
Yes, please do.
First off, you should follow me on Twitter. I'm at The Real Wiseman. And you should follow Mike the Miz as well. He's a pretty cool guy. But if you are just here for the wrestling content of Between the Ropes, I would encourage you to check us out on Facebook. We're at facebook.com/Between the Ropes. We are utilizing the live video feature of Facebook. Just today, Brian Fritz himself was on there discussing the breaking news around the XFL. Great place to keep up with us, keep up with all the new things we're doing. We got some cool written content on the site as well. That is betweentheropes.com. I've been posting some articles. We've had some news stories going up throughout the week. It's a great place to keep all of our content in check. Of course, we're on YouTube, youtube.com/betweentheropes. And, you know, we like to put out our Scott Steiner tweets, and those can hit you at twitter.com/betweentheropes. So, yeah, man. And Brian Fritz, you are at Brian Fritz on Twitter and wherever else you can find things. We are on iTunes. We are on Stitcher. We are on blogtalkradio.com/betweentheropes. And we're also on Patreon. So if you like what we do, we always appreciate it if you give us a few bucks. We will have an Overrun podcast coming up later this week talking about our favorite moments from Raw's 25-year history and those top 25 lists that was on the WWE Network. So you can check that out once it goes up. But you got to be a patron to do it. So there you go.
Well, Michael, you did such a great job with that. Why don't you close it out here?
Well, Brian, thank you for leading this glorious podcast tonight. And everybody else out there, thank you guys for listening. We'll catch you right here next time on Between the Ropes.